The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Friday, the 8th of March, 2013. And as promised, I have part two of my conversation here with Peter Neese, that, if you remember, was on with Joyce Rosenwald for quite some time. Joyce passed away, gosh, it's been over a year, I do believe. Brain aneurysm, boom, gone. But she was feisty. And that's what we need, is more people in this country that have their facts and not afraid to speak the facts. They're immutable. You can't transgress them. The truth is the truth. No matter how the history rewriters and the liars and perceivers and deceivers of information tell you. Peter Neese, how are you this afternoon?
Very fine, John. Thank you.
Well, tell you what, I had a few interesting emails about our topic of conversation. And
I received probably close to 50 emails.
Well, and rightfully so, because I want people to understand, Peter, we've got a lot of people out there doing battle. This battle, that battle, it's the battle for gun rights, it's this right, it's that right, well, this is being violated. They keep throwing nasty, putrid scraps at us. And we're supposed to fight over that. Whereas what we're doing by doing this and not concentrating the energy and the effort at the root cause of the problem, there is also in politics as well, folks, and overthrow of governments, there is reason, there is cause in effect. And this is what we're talking about. This is what we discussed yesterday. And I'm just getting really tired. I'll give you an example. Matt Kibbe, the Freedom Works Foundation, you know, he's a good guy. He means well. He tries to put good people in Congress. And, you know, I get another email today. Hey, we're going to be doing this and this, and we need a few of your dollars. I mean, this is like putting a newborn in a leper colony and expecting the child to live a long and normal, healthy life. You cannot change the environment in Washington, D.C. with an idea or a group of small people battling the giant, because the giant has created the problem itself. And it just simply boils down to this, ladies and gentlemen. We got two different countries in this land. We have the de facto and the de jure. You've heard it before, but we're describing it in excruciating detail as to what went wrong and why you're seeing this country in the shape that it is today. A real education that you can't even buy in a college. We'll take the break, be back on the other side with Peter Neese, and proceed into the second day with this vital information. I hope you people are taking what I'm saying to heart. Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of a Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
On yesterday's program with Peter Neese, we gave you the two United States and the law. Now, it is one thing to listen to a program. You can't retain all of it. That's why it's nice to have backup documentation. Now, if you'll go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org, it's posted in two different places. Top news stories and also the RBN network updates. The reason being is the RBN network updates don't get updated that often, so it stays at the top within the person viewing the website's view. Whereas in the top news stories, that might disappear in a day or two due to new additions, and it gets pushed off into the news archives. So it is up there. And a woman called in yesterday, I think it was Betty from North Carolina. She has questions about a county sheriff. And I think from a previous call, she said that there was somebody that's running, and she's trying to determine if this guy is a good guy or not a good guy. Well, here's part of the basic problem, that the county sheriffs can pick and choose. Not if you look at it technically and correctly, that if the sheriff takes an oath to pledge his conduct and how he handles the duties of his office, if he takes a constitutional oath to protect and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You know the drill. Well, then he's got to be able to distinguish between the two. And it's been very confusing for a lot of people. It hasn't been for the corporate state. Let me just put it simply. It's a very good money-making operation for them, okay? Because under common law principle, under the Constitution, unless you're doing harm to somebody, you're getting in the way of their freedom and liberty. In other words, if you're doing harm to that individual, I said individual, or a group or a party, then they would have claim against you. You go off to court. It's adjudicated. You're found guilty, not guilty, whatever the case may be. I'm in the wrong. I'm not in the wrong. But that was for a jury to decide based on common law. Not the statutory codified where the victim now becomes the state. And it's the state filing charges, and it's the state versus so-and-so, or the United States government versus so-and-so. This is not common law. It's the colorable stuff. It's the admiralty. Give it a name. The administrative courts. It is a mechanism that they put in to parallel and to coincide with the Constitutional Republic. They've got all the politicians. They've got the airwaves. They've got the propaganda machine. They have their ways of dealing with law enforcement, especially the PDs across the country. Alerts coming from the FBI, you name it. But it is up to us, ladies and gentlemen, to make that distinction and know the subject matter well enough that when you present this information to your county sheriff, you're giving that man a choice of which path he is going to follow. Is he going to fulfill the duties and obligations of his office to the people in his county and his state? Or is he going to take the statutory and de facto form and just go along, get along, and, well, the rest, you know how that goes. So, Peter, it is very important that people understand this. And once you give this information to somebody and they read it, they're going to have to make their choice. At the end of this, if they are still confused, well, then it behooves them to do a little bit more studying. But Constitution and law and the common law principle has been so far removed from the public dialogue, its psyche, that it almost sounds strange and foreign to some of the people that are in office that swore to that Constitution when they don't even know that the government has been flipped. It would be beyond their wildest imagination that a coup had already taken place, and what you're witnessing has been in place for a very long time. Very long time in consideration of how old this country really is. And the damage started back in the 19th century. It continued into the 20th century. It's continuing into the 21st century. It is the legal fiction that they have foisted on people, and they have called it law, and they have the enforcement mechanism. They have the Keystone Corporate Coffer cops out there after you. They've got the equity or admiralty courts there to find you guilty when you're not guilty of a damn thing. And don't, by the way, be so foolish as to stand in one of these equity courts and try to argue your Constitution. It's like the three monkeys. See, hear, and speak. I can't hear it. I can't see it. I can't speak it. They're not allowed to, because this is the laws of the United States, or this is the codified law, or this is the statutory law. When in reality, Peter, if it doesn't fit the Constitution and the law of the land, is it not null and void?
That's correct, sir.
Well, let's get on with part two here.
Which page are you starting on so I can follow you? Yesterday I was trying to handle emails and follow you, and I got behind.
I was hoping you were going to say that. But you know what? It doesn't really matter because I can get close enough. Repeating any of this stuff a couple of times does not hurt. But
okay.
let me jump back here. The present commercial system of law and codes. By the way, I did find and I did get an order that page, so that's the one I was having problems with yesterday. At any rate, our present commercial system of law and codes and the remedy provided for our protection. But remember, we're at war with the District of Columbia under martial law rule and the rule of necessity. So in reality, there is no rule of law when suing the federal government. And, you know, I'll take that back. It's not. We're now given corporate privileges to discharge obligations of debt with this more convenient type of currency. We're talking about their commercial stuff. Issued by the colorable de facto federal territorial United States Corporation with the Federal Reserve System. Now, consequently, ladies and gentlemen, everybody was forced to go modern D.C. corporate status. The people were in to turn in their gold as a patriotic gesture because the American people were uneducated in the changes made to their national and local colorable governments. One territorial District of Columbia and the other the American states of the United States of America, the entire school system and news media complex went along with the elites, scammed to capture the peoples, and declared it to be a forward step for the colorable territorial de facto D.C. democracy. No longer referring to de jure America as the Republic of the United States of America since 1933. And what happened in 1933, Peter?
Yeah, they did away with the gold standard. In fact, the United States of America was bankrupted out because of some gold contracts that the Congress had made. So in reality, Congress basically just overnight did away with the United States of America.
And to make sure that they had plenty of time. Now keep in mind, we're talking about a president that held three terms. He died in office in 1945, didn't see the end of the Second World War, but they had to give him time. They had to give him time in office under emergency rule to do the dastardly little deeds that Franklin Delano really was a card-carrying communist. Why do I say that? Ladies and gentlemen, his real name was not Roosevelt. It was Rosenvelt. Do you understand? Where did this Mr. Rosenvelt come from? The New York bankers. Starting to get the message? So what happened during this guy's tenure? Oh, well, we had a banking crisis. We had a stock market crash. So to allow him plenty of time to do his dastardly little anti-American, anti-constitutional deeds, many of which were struck down by the Supreme Court, but many of the issues stuck. They had to give him enough time. They gave him plenty of time. The crash happened in 29, all throughout the 30s, going into the 40s, until the Second World War. The bankers shut the door to the people. You weren't even allowed to get to their funny money. And what they did during that time, they confiscated Americans' gold that were in the safe deposit boxes, threatened them to turn in their gold certificates. These were the bills, ladies and gentlemen, that said that these bills, you could walk in with any of these dollars into any bank USA and get gold and silver. That meant that the bank itself had on deposit for the public to service them actual gold and silver, which is real money, not this colorable pretty crap that they call dollars. So the fix was in. Okay, more on this when we get back. But this goes back to Civil War times, ladies and gentlemen. And I've got a little section I want to also do on that to make people understand why this 14th Amendment was so important to concentrate the power in Washington, D.C. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we were given these corporate privileges. And consequently, everyone was forced to go that modern DC corporate status route. Now, from that time on, it was a falling light of the Republic of 1776, and a light rising for Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal, Congressional District of the Columbia Democracy. And let me stop here and interject. See, we weren't done with Roosevelt's grand New Deal plan. We had to have a redo or a redux. We gave you Franklin Johnson. Lyndon Baines Johnson. You know that little thing that they're having a problem funding, you know, Medicare, Medicaid? Oh, yes, another little social safety net for the people. That didn't sound that bad, because back in the day when Lyndon Baines got this ball rolling, it was only going to cost the taxpayers roughly $12 billion a year. $12 billion, ladies and gentlemen, would look like a tip on the Medicare Medicaid table today. Seriously. Right. So this Columbia Democracy that I'm speaking of, which overcame the Depression by another war called the Second World War, I just refer to it as World War I Part II, which was caused by a stage act of war between the jumping us to the D.C. presidency international staged event, and the banking cartel created shortage of real money, gold and silver. There was created an abundance of debt, and that paper money, so-called, in the form of interest-bearing private international negotiable instrument called the Federal Reserve Note and bonds. Remember the bonds, the treasuries, so on and so forth. In other forms of paperwork, these are credit instruments to support and build up this World War II or World War I Part II. Now, I also, at this point, Peter, want to make people understand that the corporate status that you see today, whether it be federal government, state government, city government, what is the business of a corporation? Anybody that is familiar with corporate and corporate boards in particular and understand what a corporation is designed to do, it's designed to do one thing. And you see CEOs bounced and replaced all the time if they don't add growth. Not stability. Not, hey, I maintain market share, you know, we've maintained profit on our stocks or whatever the case may be, or dividends on our stocks. No. Their duties as being a CEO of said corporation is continual growth, not satisfied with maintaining status quo. Now, to understand that corporate, and it's a beautiful system that they set up. I trust me, folks, because you're living it and breathing it every single day, and you may not even be aware of it. You know, why is it that people, because they want to be fashionable, they want to be the in, that we have Madison Avenue sell you a dream and give it a brand name? So in order for you to be in with that, you know, why don't you buy this $3,000 purse that we know damn right well that was made in Malaysia for about 15 bucks? It's called making profits, and in some regards, obscene profits. But the whole thing about the corporation is continued growth and continued profit. Now, if you take a look at the business in the United States today and the business cycle itself, what do you see? Well, we have all these corporations competing with your consumer dollars. So we need to keep this system going. We need to keep people employed. We need to keep continually expanding our market, growing our market, making more consumers. Well, how is that accomplished? By the aforementioned continued growth, continued profit. But what makes this possible? And if you haven't realized it, folks, you know, there's a reason why things are not of the same quality that they were, you know, prior to, say, our Emergency Banking Act of 1913. And it moved forward for a number of years. Companies didn't become corporations to totally expand and dominate markets. But once you push your products out in the market, if they last too long, well, people are going to quit buying your products simply because they don't have a need to replace the one that still works. Remember when the time was, we call them antiques now, but remember the time was that you bought a product, and I don't give a damn what it was, that it was built to last. Many of these products passed from the original purchaser to their children, and then from their children's children on down. It didn't have a determinate shelf life. So to keep this major cycle going and this profit-generating thing going, you constantly have to have these consumers wanting and buying. Do they want to buy another product that just broke down 5 years after they bought it? No. But that's the way it's planned obsolescence.
Right on.
The waste that this generates is beyond imagination. But this was all made possible by the funny money people. And let me give you an example of this. I've read this before, but placed in this context, I think people will have a better grasp of it. And I'll do that short quote after the break. We'll take your phone calls into the second hour today. There's ground we have to cover yet with Peter. But ladies and gentlemen, understand, look at this with fresh eyes, because you've been so indoctrinated. You've been a part of it your entire life. You can't recognize it when you're looking right at it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 links. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet. Only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation. CampingSurvival.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
And folks, now understand that there were people that understood what fiat money would do, what it would breed, like cancer cells. We all have cancer cells in our body. Problem is that when they start to reproduce too rapidly and your immune system can't fight it off, you start to lose body parts and they start to fall off and fall on the floor. But we had people that understood that based on fiat, what was going to grow up around it. And Thomas Jefferson knew this. His letter to the Treasury Secretary, Albert Gallatin, back in 1802, put in this context, I hope it garners better understanding to the listeners. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. Now, this was over 200 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. This out of the hand and the pen of Thomas Jefferson, that understood the perils of centralized banking, the corporations. He understood full well that the issuance of funny money, how that would debase and topple the system. And this all traces back, ladies and gentlemen. This is what's created this corporation nation state, not only here in this country, but around the globe. The free and easy credit to borrow, to build, to dominate, to eradicate competition. And it may be better than yours, might be a little less profitable than you, but nevertheless was true competition because of the very nature of competitive marketplace. I don't have to be the biggest and the baddest to produce a better product. I can sit back quietly and crank out my high-quality widgets that don't have a shelf life and won't break on you. Let the other guy keep selling his crap because I'm not interested in dominating an entire market. I'm interested in making a product that is marketed at a fair price that lasts for a long time. This flies in the face of the very system that you're looking at in this operating in this country today. Peter, anything that I just said, do you disagree with?
Oh, no, it's right on, John. Right on the money.
All right, let's get back into, I just wanted to slide that in there because I've quoted that before, and I don't think people quite understood it. And I'm putting it in its proper context. I hope it takes on a new meaning for people. Because we're talking at a time in this country that we weren't that old. We had a revolution in 1776. When did we come up with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? 1789? We're talking... I'm sorry?
Go ahead. 1791.
Okay, 1791. So a mere 9 years later, I'm sorry, 11 years later, this letter was written to the Secretary of Treasury. Was the man the most brilliant human being to ever live? They understood the systems of government that they had been witness to, and they sought to give a better form of government for a representative government for the people. Representing them how? What's their interest? Well, now that it's the corporation nation state, well, the business of government is business, isn't it? It's not protection of the people. It's not ensuring their continued God-given unalienable rights. No, we're now a corporation. And anything that the Constitution once said that gets in our way and impedes our United States' new form of corporatized government, we're just not going to recognize it. It doesn't serve our purpose. And it's not serving yours, ladies and gentlemen. Do you see the position that we're in today? Direct cause and effect. Traceable, immutable fact. But nobody wants to talk about that, Peter. Nobody.
I know.
Well, let's get back into the counterfeiting of a government. Consequently, a new colorable jurisdiction called this Federal District of Columbia, the statutory equity jurisdiction, had to be created to enforce the new third-party colorable contracts. Now, if you would, sir, explain what a third-party colorable contract is.
Basically, that's where you've got a territorial Congress making laws for their subjects. So, in essence, what we're really saying here, instead of a two-party contract, it turns into a third-party contract. Like today, when people have to use their Social Security number to purchase something or whatever, that's so the third party, the government, can be in on it and basically tax you for that transaction.
Or to allow a third party to control the conditions of that contract.
Conditions also.
Yeah, and most people think of contract. Well, I know what a contract is. A contract is something that's spelled out, an agreement, and both parties agree to it and they sign it. Well, that's normally what a contract in your thinking and my thinking would be. But where does that third party come in? Take a look, and this is how I'm... Gosh, I almost said something that I said...
Well, we can say it real easy. We're using the third party's money. And because we're using the third party's money, they're going to charge us to use their money.
You know, I mean, people flat out just don't get this. I was talking to my J.P. Morgan banker today. Just love talking to these guys. And I basically told him he was aware of the situation I had with a car that got confiscated. And I used a little colorful language with him. It was just he and I. It was in private conversation. But I told him, I said, you know, I said, this is really strange on the issue of cars and repossessions and whatever the case may be. I said that I had a J.P. Morgan account manager tell me on the telephone and confirmed what I said on the air yesterday, confirmed what I had long suspected, that this third-party interest that we talk about, and here's a prime example. When you buy a car, if you don't pay cash for it, you're dealing with a dealership. He's got a product. You want the product. You've got to come up with a form of payment in order to relieve him of his inventory so you can take it home with you. Okay, sounds pretty simple. Okay, say, suppose that you do have a pocket full of cash. Okay, you buy the car from the dealership. You sign your paperwork. It gets registered with the state. The state says, oh, well, there's no third-party liens on this title. So they send you what in the mail that people consider to be the final sale or the receipt. Since you have no liens on that car anymore, it's been paid for. Oh, well, you get a certificate of title.
Right.
What I said to that J.P. Morgan account manager was, you know, this is all poppycock. I say I have the pleasure of paying for and maintaining buying and selling. I can decide who drives the car or who doesn't. If I want to sell it, I sell it. But it still remains an asset of the state that I never take full possession and ownership of that car.
That's correct.
That J.P. Morgan manager said, you know, most people don't know that. And this, and I don't want to get too colorful here, but this is what I'm going to use, and I hope this goes to court. I'm going to try to force it into a court because, man, I can bring up a lot of stuff here. But I'm going to take this Mazda and use it as a suppository to shove it back up J.P. Morgan's tailpipe. Try to get me to make good on a supposed contract that's not a two-party, that I created that credit line by my own signature, that I don't get to take full possession and outright ownership of this thing that was leaned. Tell me that any of this thing is right. Take this and stick it in your ear.
Right.
And by the way, I'll have a lawyer in standby just to deal with their little administrative stuff to give me some advice. But I'm going to take J.P. Morgan to Chase on air. I'm going to stick this up their tailpipe. Because many, many people find themselves, have you had something repossessed lately, ladies and gentlemen? A car, a truck, a house? Have you had something taken away from you? How was that created? And who was the third party? Very interesting. At any rate, most of our courts, let me jump back to the Democratic jurisdiction, which is their de facto legislative goings-on, rather than the de jure or the common law, the de jure judicial, in nature. Now, this de facto jurisdiction enforces commercial agreements upon implied consent, rather than full knowledge of the content, as it is with the enforcement of lawful two-party contracts under the common law without government or without other third-party interest. Most of all of our courts today sit as de facto foreign legislative tribunals, and the so-called statutes of legislative bodies being enforced in these legislative tribunals are not de jure statutes passed by the legislative branch of our four-branch republic, but as commercial obligations to the federal, foreign, territorial, D.C., democratic, de facto United States, who has used the equitable currency of the federal United States and who has accepted the corporate benefit or privilege of discharging his debts with the limited liability benefit offered to him by the federal territorial de facto United States, except those who avail themselves of a remedy within this commercial system of law, which remedy is today found in Book 1 of the Uniform Commercial Code at Section 207, or numbering 1-308. Can you please explain that, Peter?
Yeah, that's the new numbering they've given Section 207. It used to be 1-207. It's now changed to 1-308.
And what you're doing by that is reserving your rights.
That is correct. Go ahead, read on, and you'll see how that's done.
Okay. When used in conjunction with one signature, a stamp or writing stating without prejudice is sufficient to indicate to the magistrate of any of our present legislative District of Columbia private tribunals called courts that the signer of the document has reserved his common law right. He is not to be bound to the statute or commercial obligation of any commercial agreement that he did not enter knowingly, voluntarily, and intentionally, as would be the case in any common law contract. Now, there's something else to be added to that, Peter. When agreements carry other penalties that the person, the signer of that contract, is not made aware of, or without complete understanding of the full ramifications of the contract or the agreement that he's signing, is that a valid contract if not all parties are made aware of all the points of merit of that contract?
Under their system, if you give a naked signature, it is, yes. But if you put without prejudice above your signature, now you've ruined it for them, and basically they can't hold you liable. That's why Joyce and I have always tried to tell people that the Uniform Commercial Code is the new system of protection to protect you and show that you are the fiduciary of basically that legalized fictitious person rather than actually being the fictitious person. So if you sign it nakedly, you become the fictitious person.
All
and
right.
Subject to all of the laws that they want to jump on you for penalty and everything else. But if you sign it without prejudice above your name, now you've reserved your rights, and they've got a problem.
Well, wait till they get a loan of my brief that if this goes to court that I got to file within 10 days of a court date, I don't even think this will come to trial. I think if the attorneys for J.P. Morgan can read, they're not going to want me in an open court of law, and especially any of this stuff put on record.
This will help you, what you're reading about, John, further on.
Furthermore, pursuant to UCC 1-103, the statute being enforced as a commercial obligation of a commercial agreement must now be construed in harmony with the old de jure common law of America, where the tribunal or slash court must rule that the statute does not apply to the de jure fiduciary individual who is wise enough and informed enough to exercise the remedy provided in this commercial system.
There you go.
And he retains the former de jure status in the Republic and fully enjoys his unalienable rights guaranteed him by the Constitution of the de jure Republic. Now, while those about him curse the darkness of commercial law government, lacking the truth needed to free themselves from the slave status under the federal territory de facto United States Congress, even while inhabiting de jure state territory foreign to its de facto territorial military venue. And I've expressed this before with you, Peter, that the mere fact that this system stands, that it is so pervasive and it is so well hidden, that in fact a parallel government has been shoved down our throats. Yes, seeking remedy if you're under attack is the prudent thing to do. But what's not prudent is just saving your own keister and leaving the beast to feast on others. That system
right.
needs to disappear.
Yes, sir, it does.
All right. So you get into letters at this point. Now, who drew up these letters about allocution?
This was done by Mr. Freeman. This wasn't done by me. Like I said, I only modified just a little bit of this to give it clarity as far as the governments were concerned. But the rest of this from here on basically is Mr. Freeman's information.
All righty. Do I have a break coming up here? And hopefully another minute. Maybe I'm looking at the clock at the wrong angle here. 30 seconds. Okay.
It looks like you got a break coming up.
Yeah, I do. Okay, well, I'll get into this. And this has to do with allocution. And this is the name of the right, ladies and gentlemen. And this is an important right available to you. And we'll explain that after this break. And into the next hour, as I said, we will take your calls. But please let me signal when the lines are open, because there's another issue that I wanted to discuss with Mr. Neese before we take your calls. All right. We'll break. We'll be back in three.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
There's an important right available to you. The name of this right is allocution. It's presumed to have been waived if it is not requested. The purpose in demanding allocution is to preserve the legal issues brought up in the case and overruled by a trial court. Otherwise, one's appeal from a criminal conviction to a higher court will only be a review of the fact issues decided in a lower court. The law issues of the case are presumed to have been waived by the accused unless those issues have been preserved through the right of allocution. Now, there is more that can follow one's exercise of that right, and we'll cover that, but first, let's explain what allocution is. Once the court or a jury has found you guilty of disobedience to a commercial statute demanding or prohibiting performance in a specified manner, you, the accused, have the right of allocution, which right consists of having the court judge ask you on the record of the case, to be sure that the court reporter is including this in the case transcript. You can make that request as well in an open court. Is this being recorded by the court recorder? Is there any reason why this court should not sentence you at this time? Now, being asked that question by the court in the court record is all there is to your right of allocution. But a proper response upon the court record by the accused shows that that same has not waived dispute upon the legal issues of the case, which were overruled by a trial court. And now those issues may be brought up on appeal. Okay, and I'll give you an example of that. In a court case, and you've seen it played out on television and theater and whatever else. If you make,
oh, you want me to give it to you?
Yes, please do.
Yeah, basically they'll say, are you guilty or not guilty of this statute? And the statute basically spells out what the punishment's going to be. The trouble is you didn't cover the legal issue on that, the legal facts. All you covered were just the facts of the happening of the event. So in essence, you saying guilty or not guilty to it basically have done away with your legal issue that you have to raise. In other words, was this done in common law? Was this done in statutory law? Do you have jurisdiction, judge, to do what you're doing and all the rest of this stuff? So what they're getting you to do is basically to bypass a process that would make you free.
And also, and if you've watched enough movies about court cases, which, well, they have a lot of legal advice in which to draw upon, you will also notice if you make objection in a court and you're overruled, well, the fact that you brought up that objection can also be part of an appeal.
So that's correct.
Keep that in mind as well. Okay. So you know the judge is not going to sit because he sees by now where you're going with this, and he's not going to be a happy camper. Because what you're doing is challenging his jurisdiction, and you're challenging the facts of the case. And as you said, Peter, whether it's derived statutorily, out of a codified law, you know, wherever this thing is coming from, the judge, you're going to be confronted with this question from the judge, which allocution requires of him is, Your Honor, the accused in this criminal case coming as it does from the colorable jurisdiction over his person and property, does object to being sentenced by this court at this time because conviction in this case has been based upon the facts of the case while the law issues are still in dispute, namely, the court's colorable jurisdiction in the criminal charge, which lacks the essence of a substantial claim by a damaged party. We'll take the top of the hour break, come back on the other side. We'll cover a few more things here. We'll open up the phone lines after, Peter, you and I vet out the 13th Amendment and what that did to jurisprudence. With finance.